In this episode of the 90s and Noughties UK podcast, I remember a classic cartoon single. I challenge two people in the quick fire quiz, and then Danny Sim plays Celebrity Birthdays.
This is 90s and Noughties UK, a podcast on UK pop culture of the 90s and 2000s. If you want to contact the show, email 90sandnoughties@gmail.com, tweet us on @90sandnoughtiesUK on Twitter, or check us out on Facebook, 90s and Noughties UK.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the 90s and Noughties UK podcast. And we've now reached February. And I would like to say, first off, thank you so much for the support that I've received thus far. We're a few weeks into this series. And that from now on, things are going to be a little bit different. We're split up into segments. This is the intro segment. And in future weeks, I would like to introduce a specific fact about this time in the era in which the podcast covers. So having looked around the internet and scanned what is out there, I see on Wikipedia here under 1991, so 30 years ago this month, February saw The Simpsons, specifically Bart, reach number one with Do the Bartman from their album The Simpsons Sing the Blues, which reached number six in the charts. I can highly recommend that album. It's a great album. It's seen at the time as a little bit of a novelty. Now, it's pretty good, actually, as a novelty album, as a blues album, as a pop album. But the unusual thing was it had premiered the show, The Simpsons, on Sky One a year earlier. And it wouldn't air on terrestrial TV until 1996, when it was aired on BBC One. And according to this, the family became the first cartoon characters to hit number one since the Archies, if you remember them, did so in 1969 with Sugar Sugar. And the follow-up did rather well as well. So happy 30th birthday to Do the Bartman, which has got some amazing lyrics in it. But yeah, because I put mothballs in the meat stew or whatever it is, beef stew, is not one of them. I mean, The Simpsons at that point was known for kind of having musical numbers, and that album was sort of released, I want to say, between the first and the second series. So it's kind of there and kind of not. It's all very interesting, actually. And like I say, go and check it out on Spotify. It's a decent album, in my humble opinion, and how interesting, it didn't land on terrestrial television in the UK until 1996. Wonder what was keeping it. Probably some kind of like exclusivity deal, something along those lines. Oh well, now it's time for the main feature. And now it's time for a regular feature on the 90s and Noughties UK podcast. It's the quick fire quiz / challenge Hayley. Now, previous listeners will know that Hayley got six on her last go at the quiz, and we're going to see later on if she can beat that. But first, she has a challenger. Welcome to the podcast, Tim. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. How is your music knowledge?
I'd say fairly good, actually, especially probably older music, so should be okay with 90s and noughties.
Excellent. Well, have you listened to the previous round that we did with Hayley?
I would have listened to it because I actually binged a lot of your podcasts the other week.
Excellent. So you know how it works. I ask you as many questions as I can in 90 seconds, all pop music related to do with the 90s and noughties. And then at the end, we'll count up all of the answers and see if you've beaten Hayley's score of 6. Are all the rules clear?
Yes, they are.
Excellent. Right. So what I will do is I will say, thank you very much for participating, Tim. And we shall start the clock in just a moment. About now. How many members of Steps are there?
5.
MC Hammer tune, You Can't Touch
This.
Correct. The debut album from PJ and Duncan was called
Pass.
Okay. What were Snow Patrol chasing?
Cars.
Correct. Who isn't dead, according to Scouting for Girls?
Elvis.
Correct. In the song Teenage Dirtbag, what did the boyfriend bring to school?
A gun.
Correct. According to Kavanagh, what can he make you feel?
Good.
Correct. What was the name of Hearsay's debut album?
Pop Stars.
Correct. Whose mum was Fountains of Wayne singing about?
Stacey's.
Correct. David Gray album, White Blank.
Pass.
Okay. Number one for 2 Unlimited, No Blank.
Limit.
Correct. Who duetted with Tom Jones on Burning Down the House?
The Cardigans.
Correct. In the feeder track, what does his new car look like?
A Jaguar.
Excellent. What was Robbie Williams' debut album called?
Life Through a Lens.
Ooh, correct. Just getting in there, and that's the end of the 90 seconds. I slipped up a little bit on the pronunciation, but hopefully you can forgive me for that. Let's count up the scores. So you answered correct with how many members of Steps are there. You answered correct on MC Hammer tune, You Can't Touch This, of course. The debut album from PJ and Duncan was called Psych. What were Snow Patrol chasing? They were chasing cars. You got that correct. Who isn't dead, according to Scouting for Girls? That is Elvis, obviously, which you got correct. In the song Teenage Dirtbag, what did the boyfriend bring to school? A gun. You said that. That's correct. Kavanagh can make you feel good. That is correct. What was the name of Hearsay's debut album? Pop Stars, which you got right. Stacey's mum, of course, because it's still there. The David Gray album is called White Ladder. And the number one album, number one single for 2 Unlimited was No Limit, which you got correct. Who duetted with Tom Jones? That was The Cardigans. Then we had that feeder track, which was called Buck Rogers, by the way, with a car that looked like a Jaguar, which you got correct. And Robbie Williams' debut album was indeed called Life with a Lens. And unless I've got it incorrect, you have got a score of 11, which beats anything that that Hayley has done previously. So at the moment, you are currently the champion of the Challenge Hayley quiz. But later on, we shall see whether Hayley can beat that score of 11. How do you feel about that?
I feel really happy. I felt I knew quite a few of the answers, just only sort of stumped out with the albums and stuff, but feel really happy with my score.
Excellent. So, yeah.
Don't feel it can be touched.
Well, you can't touch this, as MC Hammer said. But no, you did extremely well there. I can say that is not easy. And if anybody says, well, the questions are almost too easy, well, actually, I like them to be easy because it's the quick fire quiz. I try and do as many as you can because, of course, filling in the blanks is a fairly easy thing to do. Were you not a PJ and Duncan fan?
I'm an Ant and Dec fan. I like the work that they've done on TV. Don't mind them, though. Just not sure. I'm not knowledgeable enough on their albums.
And David Gray.
I like David Gray's stuff.
Ah, well, there we go. That's a diplomatic answer. But Tim, at the moment, you are the current champion, but we shall see whether Hayley can topple you from your throne. Thanks for joining.
You're welcome.
And now we welcome Hayley back to the podcast. Welcome back.
Thank you very much, Jamie.
Yeah, that's all right. So, as we just heard, the previous contestant got 11 answers correctly. So, how do you think you're going to do here, Hayley? Are you feeling nervous knowing how many they got?
Yeah, I mean, it's quite a score to beat. I'll just see what happens, really. And like I say, well done to them in the first instance for getting 11. So, good for them, so...
We will start the questioning. 90 seconds starting now. Which 80s song did PM Dawn sample on Set Adrift on Memory Bliss?
Pass.
Okay. Dido song, Thank Blank.
Thank you.
Correct. What were Pure Tone addicted to in their popular song? Bass, correct. The Chris Moyles parody song Davina McCall was a parody of a song by which artist?
Pass.
Okay. Undercover recorded a version of which Jerry Rafferty hit?
Pass.
Okay. Leona Lewis song Bleeding Blank.
Love.
Correct. What is Howard Donald's middle name?
Pass.
Okay. What was the name of the first UK number one single for Oasis?
Wonderwall?
Incorrect. How many number one singles did the band Aqua have?
Three.
Correct. Billy Piper song, Day and Blank.
Night.
Correct. Who produced the remix for the Elvis Presley track Rubberneckin'?
Pass.
Okay, which year did Bowling for Soup sing about?
1985.
Correct. Boyzone song, All That I Blank.
Pass.
Okay. Who did Shakira team up with on Hips Don't Lie?
Wyclef Jean.
Okay, that's correct. You've got it just on the timer there. So we'll now count up the amount of correct answers that you got. So I asked you, which 80s song did PM Dawn sample on Set Adrift on Memory Bliss? It was True by Spandau Ballet. Okay, so the Dido song, which you got correct, that's 1 point. You were correct in saying that Pure Tones were addicted to bass. The Chris Moyles parody song, Davina McCall, was based on a song by The Feeling, which was I Love It When You Call. Then we had the Undercover recorded a version of which song? It was Baker Street by Jerry Rafferty. Obviously, the Leona Lewis song was Bleeding Love. Well done on that. Howard Donald's middle name is Paul. What was the name of the first UK number one single for Oasis? Some Might Say. I was surprised at that myself. How many number one singles did the band Aqua have? That was 3. And they were Barbie Girl, Dr. Jones and Turn Back Time. The Billy Piper song was Day and Night. And Paul Oakenfold produced the remix for Elvis Presley's Rubberneckin'. 1985 was correct for Bowling for Soup. And the Boyzone song was called All That I Need.
Could then a bit.
Yeah, which is quite a deep cut.
And I know that you would be, because I knew how much you love Boyzone. I was like, I can't think of it.
Yeah, and who did Shakira team up with on Hips Don't Lie? You were correct, with Wyclef Jean. And that brings you to 6 points, the same as the last time that that you came on. And that means that the previous contestant is the winner.
Yeah, well done to them. But if they were to continue the challenge, and keep this going, I'm fine with that. So if they're feeling competitive and want to carry it on, I know I am. It's fun.
Yeah, it is. And feel free to come back and challenge again. Well done to Tim, who got 11 points, and he's currently our champion. And as I say, if anybody wants to come on and do the quiz and see if they can beat Tim's score, then they can. You can email, you can tweet, you can do all the social media-y stuff that is at the beginning and at the end of the podcast. But thank you for joining in, Hayley.
You're welcome, and well done to Tim.
And now on the podcast, it's time for the Celebrity Birthdays feature. And I'm joined once again by Danny Sim, radio presenter and owner of a specific website. Tell us about it, Danny.
Thanks for having me back on the podcast. It was a pleasure. I loved it last time I was here. So I'm a radio presenter and I run a dice store called thefrogandflute.com. We sell more than dice, though. It's dice for Dungeons and Dragons and basically RPG accessories, like little character journals, maybe some rolling mats, some little places to store your dice. You know, it's great. It's fun. The Frog and Flute. Nice little catchy name as well. You won't forget that.
Yes, The Frog and Flute. Is it .com?
Oh, yes. I don't do .co.uk. You know, we're high end.
Well, I was I mean, the .com bubble burst at one point. So we're led to understand.
Well, only in the middle of the time frame of this podcast being set.
Yeah, that's right. Well,
right in the middle.
Yeah, well, it's the Celebrity Birthdays feature. Normally, it would be somebody who is celebrating their birthday in this particular week of release. Someone who was famous during the 90s or noughties, or maybe even both. And in this particular thing, I'm going to try something slightly different. So it's a game of 20 questions, basically. Danny's going to ask me some questions about this person. And normally, there's someone who is with us. And today, it's someone who was born on this day, but is no longer with us. So
it's just
changing it up slightly, because as we look through, occasionally you miss out on things. So, yeah, whenever you're ready, Danny, throw me some questions.
Okay. So my first question for you, Jim, is this. I'm going to go straight back to where I said last time I was on the show, which is this person. Did they have the dominance of their fame in the noughties?
No. In fact, this person happens to have had dominance of fame in at least 5 decades.
Wow.
At least 5 decades. In fact, I'm going to help you tremendously here, because I don't think you're going to get this one. But they were born in 1922.
Wow.
And they had TV fame relatively late in their career.
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah, that's your clue there.
And TV fame relatively late in their career.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Are they male?
Yes.
Okay. That's good. That's good. Now's your dad. Are they an actor?
Not necessarily. No. No. Oh. You could call them more of a TV presenter.
A TV presenter.
Yeah.
Who no longer with us. Who was born in 1922.
Yes.
And Zynga.
And I'll give you another clue. Before their TV career, they were known as a writer.
A writer?
Yeah.
Okay. Are they male? Have I asked that already?
Yeah, you've already asked that, yes.
Oh, silly me. Okay. I'm struggling. Did they write books?
No, they were a comedy writer.
Comedy?
Yeah.
Is that comedy films?
Well, that could be comedy films, yes. And also radio and a little bit of TV as well. But people during the 90s and noughties would know him better as a presenter of a particular program. Yeah, that is still running today, and it's now presented by someone completely different, because this person sadly died in 2018 at the age of 96.
Wow, that's a good age, though, isn't it? Like, that's a good age. I'm so scrambled. I'm not doing as well as I was last time.
No, but I do have a massive clue, and I did test this out on somebody, and they got it right away from that clue.
Okay. I think I'm going to need it.
Okay. Yeah, there will be a few people shouting at their devices right now when I say, a man with a clipboard.
A man with a clipboard?
Yes.
Oh, that hasn't made it any easier.
Okay. If I was to say blooper. Blooper. B-L-O-O-P-E-R-S. Bloopers.
No, I'm so stumped. I feel silly. Oh, I see, I came into this too confident. I was riding off the success of the last episode. Oh, now I've come into this far too confident.
Well, I mean, when are you ready to give in?
No, I never give up. You best make a bet up. Right, okay. So, bloopers. Would my mum know who this is?
Possibly.
Possibly.
Yeah, she would possibly know who he was because he started presenting the program I'm thinking of in 1977.
1977.
And he stopped in 2006. And that program was predominantly made up of clips from other programs and outtakes.
The man with the clipboard.
Yes.
That's what I'm struggling with. I'm really struggling with the man with the clipboard because I don't know a man with a clipboard. Like, that doesn't ring a bell in my, like, pop culture knowledge.
Yeah, I had a feeling that was going to be
Caught me out. You got payback well and truly here, haven't you?
Well, there we are.
I have no idea. I was sort of tempted by Jim Bowen.
That you're nearly there. Nearly there, because he again was kind of an elder statesman when presenting Bullseye in the 90s and subsequently other things.
Man with a clipboard.
But yeah, I'm gonna put you out of your misery here because I feel like we could be here for some time. But what this guy Yeah. This guy was a script writer in sort of the 50s and 60s with a guy called Frank Muir, and they wrote very successful shows for people like Jimmy Edwards. Take It From Here was one of theirs, etc. Then in the 70s he took on a show called It'll Be All Right on the Night, which ran with him as presenter until 2006. And it was predominantly, as I say, bloopers from TV shows and outtakes and goodness knows what.
Wasn't Brucey, was it?
No. His name is Dennis Norden.
Dennis Norden?
Yes.
I never heard of Dennis Norden.
No, see, there we go. I had this feeling. I had a feeling about halfway through that you weren't going to get this. But yeah, that is that's Dennis Norden. That's the answer to this particular person. And they would have been celebrating their birthday had they still been with us. They died in 2018 at the age of 96. And they were born on the 6th of February, 1922. Thanks, Danny, for playing. And I'm sorry that this one wasn't so easy this time round.
Oh, just wait till next time. I'm gonna learn. I'm gonna study. I'm gonna become a member of a library. You name it. I've got this. I have to be the champion now.
Thank you for listening to 90s and Noughties UK, a podcast on UK pop culture of the 90s and 2000s. Please remember to rate, comment and subscribe on your favourite podcast provider. If you want to contact the show, email 90sandnoughties@gmail.com, tweet us on @90sandnoughtiesUK on Twitter, or check us out on Facebook, 90s and Noughties UK.